Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
American Criminal is a new true crime history podcast from the studio behind the hits American Scandal and American History Tellers. Hosted by Jeremy Schwartz, each weekly episode explores the dark side to the American dream, the notorious felons and outlaws who tried to lie, cheat, and murder their way to the top. Get inside the minds of the criminals and their victims and learn about the historical context behind the crimes. Season 1 covers one of the most sensational cases of the 20th century, the Menendez murders. In 1989, young Lyle and Eric Menendez brutally shot their own parents. Prosecutors and press said it was a multi-million dollar inheritance that led two greedy rich kids to murder, but the picture-perfect facade this Hollywood family built hid troubling abuse. Could these teenagers have been driven to kill, or was it even in self-defense? Other seasons will cover Al Capone, the notorious mob boss taken down by bad accounting, Georgia Tan, the thief who stole babies and ruined countless lives, plus many more, spanning every era of American history. Follow American Criminal now on your favorite podcast app. Yazoo City, Mississippi, sits on the banks of the Yazoo River, a 188-mile-long body of water that marks the southern boundary of the Mississippi Delta region. The original settlement was founded in 1824, a century and a half after famed French explorer René Robert Cavelier, Sieur de La Salle, named the river after the indigenous tribe who populated its shores. The exact meaning of the name is unknown, but some speculate the possibility of it being a Choctaw word for, quote, river of death. A reference to the surrounding region's struggles with malaria and mosquito-borne illness. Struggles that even plagued Yazoo City's development in the 19th century, as it was struck with not one, but two yellow fever epidemics in 1853 and 1878. But over the years, Yazoo City has been plagued with more than just illness and disease. And at the center of one of its most tragic events, the fire of 1904, is an eerie legend that has cemented itself in local folklore. The story of a vengeful witch believed to have been buried in nearby Glenwood Cemetery in a unique plot surrounded by iron chains. Chains that locals claim were placed there to keep the witch of Yazoo from rising from her grave. My name is Brandon Schecksnyder, and you are listening to Southern Gothic. On the morning of May 25th, 1904, a fire broke out in the home of Herman Wise on Mound Street in downtown Yazoo City, Mississippi. The exact cause of the fire is unknown. Some say that the young Miss Wise, whose wedding was to be held later that day, inadvertently knocked over a candle
as she prepared. Others say that a spark from the parlor fireplace caused the neatly arranged and wrapped wedding gifts to ignite, or that a young unattended boy had been playing with matches. But whatever the cause, once lit, the fire spread quickly. The Wise's home was located at the back of the Yazoo City Business District, the same part of town where the Western Union and Postal Telegraph companies were located. So once the flames spread and took hold of these two buildings, the entire city was essentially cut off from the outside world, with no timely means to ask for aid from nearby communities. The fire spread rapidly through town, catalyzed by unseasonably high winds from May that some witnesses described as seemingly supernatural, relating that the flames appeared to jump several blocks at a time. And these descriptions, while hearsay, were not far from the truth, as the heavy winds had in fact taken a sudden shift toward a previously safe side of town, furthering the spread of the fire to epic proportions. By 5 p.m., the flames had finally died down, but a total of 324 buildings in Yazoo City were destroyed. The Lexington Advertiser described the destruction.
The reports of the fire at Yazoo City have not been exaggerated. The only buildings left standing on either side of Main Street is the Ricks Memorial Library and the residence of Mr. E. H. Kelly. This includes 4/5 of the business houses, about 60 residents, the Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, and Episcopal churches, all 4 of the banks, the 3 newspapers, both telephone exchanges, every drugstore in the city, the Western Union and Postal Exchange, the American Express office, and the 2 livery stables. The loss is estimated at from $2.5 to $3 million. The salvage amounts to little or nothing.
Of Yazoo City's business district, all that survived the disaster was a stable, 2 churches, and a single drugstore. Tragically, approximately 3,000 people, about half the city's population, were directly affected by the fire, either as property owners, tenants, or business employees. Yazoo City was left with no choice but to rebuild. On May 27th, the Jackson Daily News wrote,
"The very disastrous fire at Yazoo City on Wednesday has caused a wave of sympathy to surge over the state for the stricken city. Yazoo City is a prosperous city. It is peopled with a progressive and hustling people who do not propose to let a little thing like a fire stand in their way of progress."
Today, the fire of 1904 can be seen as something of a benchmark in the city's history, a historical reset of sorts. Old Yazoo City was completely gone, along with much of the city's early records. All that could be done was to start over from scratch, as much of what remained of the community before the fire was left only in the memory of those who had experienced it. And it is from this oral history that a legend grew. The belief that the fire of 1904 was not the result of a mere accident, but rather the wrath of the Witch of Yazoo. Local legend claims that 20 years prior to the city's tragic destruction, a witch was discovered living outside of town near the Yazoo River. The woman, described stereotypically as old and hideous, lured unsuspecting fishermen taken the boats into her riverside cabin. Once inside, she tortured the men before killing them outright and burying their bodies in the wooded hillside behind her home. And according to the legend, she danced on their graves at night. But eventually, reports of these individuals' disappearances began to grow, so the Yazoo City police investigated. The men soon found themselves at the supposed witch's cabin. Several accounts claim that the lawmen discovered the bones of the lost men inside her home. Others say that they found full human skeletons there. But either way, the crimes were now solved. Unfortunately, the witch fled into the nearby swamp. Led by the local sheriff, the lawmen gave chase, but the witch managed to stay ahead of them for quite some time. That is, until she became trapped in quicksand. The old woman sunk fast, and when the group finally caught up to her, she swore vengeance upon the town and the people of Yazoo City with her final breath.
In 20 years, I will return and burn this town to the ground.
This is where Yazoo City's history and legend begin to intermingle, as oral histories claim that the Great Fire of Yazoo City was ignited exactly 20 years to the day of the witch's death, fulfilling her promise. In fact, after the flames died down in 1904 and city residents realized the connection, a group made their way to Glenwood Cemetery, where the witch had been buried. To their horror, when they came upon the witch's grave, they found the heavy iron chains that had been placed around the grave had broken in two. Chains they believed were intended to stop the witch from enacting her vengeance. But the witch of Yazoo had clearly returned. Y'all, I want to take a quick minute to tell you about one of my favorite nonprofit organizations here in Middle Tennessee. It's called Poster Nashville. Now, this organization supports people during times of housing or medical crises by providing compassionate, temporary care for their pets. That's right. Poster helps secure loving homes for beloved little furballs when their human companions are going through things that might otherwise cause them to have to give them up. But since Poster began back in 2020, they've been able to reunite nearly 250 pets with their loving pet parents after they were able to secure housing, keeping families together through tough times. Of course, y'all, I have to say from personal experience, it's been an awesome program to be around. My kids and I have been fortunate enough to hang out with some of the pups, and trust me, what Poster is doing through a devoted network of volunteers is absolutely heartwarming. So if you'd like to help, Poster is in the middle of their annual fundraiser right now, trying to hit a goal of $20,000, and it would mean the world to me if you'd consider helping us get there. All you got to do is visit southerngothicmedia.com/bark. That's right, southerngothicmedia.com/bark. American Criminal is a new true crime history podcast from the studio behind the hits American Scandal and American History Tellers. Hosted by Jeremy Schwartz, each weekly episode explores the dark side to the American dream, the notorious felons and outlaws who tried to lie, cheat, and murder their way to the top. Get inside the minds of the criminals and their victims and learn about the historical context behind the crimes. Season 1 covers one of the most sensational cases of the 20th century, the Menendez murders. In 1989, young Lyle and Eric Menendez brutally shot their own parents.
Prosecutors and press said it was a multi-million-dollar inheritance that led two greedy rich kids to murder, but the picture-perfect facade this Hollywood family built hid troubling abuse. Could these teenagers have been driven to kill, or was it even in self-defense? Other seasons will cover Al Capone, the notorious mob boss taken down by bad accounting, Georgia Tan, the thief who stole babies and ruined countless lives, plus many more, spanning every era of American history. Follow American Criminal now on your favorite podcast app. For years, the story of the Witch of Yazoo has been passed down through local oral histories, until 1971, when it first gained national attention after local author Willie Morris included a fictionalized version of the tale in his novel, Good Old Boy, A Delta Boyhood. The book and its sequel, Good Old Boy and the Witch of Yazoo, was inspired by events from his own childhood, a fictional account of a young boy's adventures growing up in Mississippi after World War II. As a result, some believe the legend of the witch originated in Morris's imagination, that he himself created the story for his novel. He described the old woman as, quote, half ghost and half scarecrow, but all witch. And similar to the legend, she lured fishermen into her home. But according to Morris, she poisoned them with arsenic and then buried them on a densely wooded hillside. When the sheriff investigates the witch's home, he finds dead bodies and a woman in a ragged black dress dancing around the remains, reciting unknown incantations. But in Morris's version, before the witch dies and promises vengeance, she's far more specific about the exact day of destruction, May 25th, 1904. To this day, many Yazoo City residents reject the assumption that the entire legend was created by Willie Morris. As the story of the witch in her grave was supposedly told in Yazoo City for decades before Morris's book was published, passed down from parents old enough to have heard the tales firsthand. A former director of Yazoo City's Triangle Cultural Center and local historian, K.K. Hill, was quoted in a 2014 article about the longevity of the tale. He said, "When I was a child growing up here, it was something in my mother's mind. She threatened me with it." Hill also noted that his mother was born in 1912, evidence that the legend had been around since at least the early 20th century, proving that Morris was not the first to tell the tale. Unfortunately, the exact origin of the Witch of Yazoo cannot be traced, a task made ever more difficult by the fact that much of Yazoo City's records were destroyed in the 1904 fire. But what we do know is that there was, and still is, a grave in Glenwood Cemetery adorned with chains. The original headstone that marked the supposed witch's grave was mysterious in its own right, providing zero information as to who was buried below. It displayed nothing more than the simple inscription of two letters, TW. But again, due to the fire, no records offering additional information exist, except for one that suggests the identity of the interred was in fact a woman, although her name is unidentified. This, compounded with the mysterious and atypical chains surrounding the grave, are likely the catalyst for the tale.
bolstered by the legend that the inscription TW meant simply the witch. Today, visitors to Glenwood Cemetery are still able to visit the gravesite of the supposed Witch of Yazoo. But in the mid-1990s, a new headstone was placed on the mysterious plot. The new epitaph reads, "According to local legend, on May 25th, 1904, the Witch of Yazoo City broke out of these curious chain links surrounding her grave. Writer Willie Morris's classic, Good Old Boy, brought national renown to this vengeful woman and her shameful deed." Eerily, not long after the new headstone's installation, it fell and split in two, giving many locals pause, worried about the witch's power, compounded by the fact that the heavy chains remain around the grave as well, but frequently need to be repaired and replaced. For some strange reason, despite their size, their weight, and the fact that they are laying on the ground, the chain seems to fall apart with a consistency that borders on suspicious. But for the people of Yazoo City, maintaining these chains around the witch's grave is of the utmost importance, as according to their legend, a broken or missing link can invite and allow the witch's spirit to return and bring further calamity to the community. And whether the Witch of Yazoo was in fact a historical figure or merely a figment of Willie Morris's imagination, the risk of her return to the shores of the River of Death is one they are not willing to take. My name is Brandon Schecksnyder, and you've been listening to Southern Gothic.
Southern Gothic is an independently produced podcast created by siblings Brianne and Brandon Schecksnyder with the support of listeners like you. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to receive even more content, including ad-free episodes, head over to our Patreon page today. The link is in the show notes.
Lucky Little Shacks.
American Criminal is a new true crime history podcast from the studio behind the hits American Scandal and American History Tellers. Hosted by Jeremy Schwartz, each weekly episode explores the dark side to the American dream, the notorious felons and outlaws who tried to lie, cheat, and murder their way to the top. Get inside the minds of the criminals and their victims and learn about the historical context behind the crimes. Season 1 covers one of the most sensational cases of the 20th century, the Menendez murders. In 1989, young Lyle and Eric Menendez brutally shot their own parents. Prosecutors and press said it was a multi-million dollar inheritance that led two greedy rich kids to murder, but the picture-perfect facade this Hollywood family built hid troubling abuse. Could these teenagers have been driven to kill, or was it even in self-defense? Other seasons will cover Al Capone, the notorious mob boss taken down by bad accounting, Georgia Tan, the thief who stole babies and ruined countless lives, plus many more, spanning every era of American history. Follow American Criminal now on your favorite podcast app.
Have you ever wondered who the Mary was from Bloody Mary? If the Loch Ness Monster was real? Or if Ouija boards actually worked? On each episode of the family-friendly Unspookable, we look at the histories and mysteries behind your favorite scary stories, myths, and urban legends to get the real stories behind the scares. Want to solve your next mystery? Find and follow Unspookable now, wherever you get your podcasts.